Since taking office on New Year's Day, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has signed a series of executive directives, including an order designed to help women get equal pay as state employees and one to increase transparency in state government. Joining me now to talk about Whitmer's very early days as governor is Detroit Free Press columnist Nancy Kaffer. Happy New Year, Nancy.
Thank you, Doug, and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks a lot. Before we get into some of the specifics of what Governor Whitmer has done so far, let's pull back and look at the major changes in Lansing in 2019. Michigan has its second female governor in history, also elected women as attorney general, secretary of state, Supreme Court justices, two of them. How significant do those results seem to you now that we're a little removed from November?
They are hugely significant. We saw women not just run in record numbers, but organize, turnout vote, campaign, canvass in record numbers. We elected more women in the state than we have before. And yet it is still a little depressing when you pull back and look at some of these numbers, because we had this huge influx of women into the state legislature, which now gets us to something like 36% women in the legislature. Our state is 51% women. And we're not even close to parity in the legislature. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Since taking office, Gretchen Whitmer has issued a number of executive directives, as we mentioned earlier. Which ones stand out to you the most so far?
I think this is all hugely tone setting. One of the things Snyder did early in his term was to sign legislation that stripped domestic partner benefits from state employees. It was very shocking for people who had seen him as a data-driven guy who didn't have a particular bias. So for Whitmer in her very early days to sign a directive strengthening LGBT rights, for her to say we need to be more serious about threats to public safety, and we also need to not use private email and things like that, which the governor's team was criticized for during the Flint water crisis. She's letting people know that a different person is in the governor's seat now. There's a different outlook and a different standard, and that her priorities are different.
Another outcome of the November elections is the new recreational marijuana law, and the implementation will be playing out all this year and into 2020 and maybe beyond. Nancy, you're writing this week about an early development, which is dozens of communities that have opted out of having recreational pot shops in their cities and townships. The marijuana law passed pretty easily. What's your view of this not in my backyard response to it?
It's a interesting response, isn't it? I mean, the latest report I saw in a different newspaper was that I think it's now more than 60 communities have opted out of recreational marijuana sales. One of the weaknesses with this law was that compared to other states, the tax rate for marijuana is low compared to other states that have recreational marijuana. And I don't know that the proposed revenue is maybe as attractive to communities as trying to keep what they may see as an unfavorable element out of their cities.
Detroit and potentially some of Michigan's other big cities may end up with a trickle-down effect from the decisions that their suburban neighbors are making about pot shops. How so?
Detroit hasn't really moved on this yet, so we don't know what is going to happen here. But with medical marijuana, Detroit wound up with a large concentration of medical marijuana dispensaries. What's really interesting about that, Doug, is that when you look at a heat map, these dispensaries are clustered along the city's borders. That is interesting. I'll be very interested to see if this replicates, that suburban communities do not want these shops in their communities, but their residents are more than happy to trot into my community to indulge, which is, can you tell I'm a little cranky about it?
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about the marijuana law again and again throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Nancy Kaffer is a columnist with the Detroit Free Press. You can read her writing on the opinion page at freep.com. You can also follow her on Twitter @Nancy Kaffer. Nancy, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Doug.